Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
The world is just a strange place for us right now, guys. It certainly is. But, you know, we'll get into the sports, of course, in a moment. We want to thank everyone for their continued help, and the doctors and the nurses and all the people who go out there and do so many wonderful things. But you know who, Rick, I feel like we never really give a thanks to, and that would be guys at our station. Not me, you, and Chris, because we're locked away in our homes safe and sound, but Brian, who's on the other side right now, right? Brian, who actually travels in Torque to keep us on. Ray Santiago, who's traveled in for days to keep us on, and RJ Santillo, and, you know, these are the guys that continue to, you know, get on the trains or get in their cars and drive to work. So I figure it'd be nice to start the show by giving those guys a little applause and a thank you, because, you know, we need to spread the niceties around right now, the way things are going, certainly.
No, you're absolutely right. And, you know, we spent yesterday talking about how, you know, we had relationships with, you know, our dads, our moms, our brothers, our sisters, and how, you know, what we do every day for 3 hours is, it's like one big giant family. And then for me, I mean, there's plenty of things to talk about why I love doing what I do. But I mean, right at the top of that list is we got a bunch of great people that work at the station. We really do. And it is, I mean, it's like having an extended family. And for these guys to do what they're doing to keep us on the air is, I mean, I don't think we can say enough or say thank you enough.
Yep.
No, you're absolutely right, Rick. We can't say thank you enough. And, you know, the guys behind the glass are great, Brian and Ray, and, you know, all the support people that go into trying to produce this show and make it as good as it can be. But since we're giving folks shout outs, we got to give a shout out to the grocers, the people at the drugstores as well, because those are also folks that are on the front lines putting themselves in harm's way each and every day. And they don't get enough credit as well for what they're doing.
It's true. And there's so many people for us to thank. And Jacob Perry, who every day has been coming in and sitting, you know, in I guess, dangerous territory by just, you know, making the trek out of his house and doing what he does. And Giselle, who did it for us last week. So a thank you to all those people. And then quickly, I just want to mention something. I saw a photo of it and it drove me insane. We see pictures of people in Florida, Chris, and they go to the beach, and it's just like, it got me so angry. And you think to yourself, well, New Yorkers are smarter. They're better than that. And then this ship was coming in, right? A hospital ship to help people. Did you see the images of people lined up elbow to elbow watching the ship come into harbor? It drove me insane yesterday.
Yeah, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, Dave. The USNS Comfort is coming here to try to help people. That's going to be an opportunity for folks that don't have COVID-19 but need medical help. They have a chance to go there and get the medical attention that's required. But to try to create another issue and potentially spread the virus to other folks that are in proximity to you just because you want to watch the ship come in, that makes absolutely no sense. I was watching the news last night at 6 o'clock, and one of the reporters was talking about how they had to have their temperature checked just to be close to the ship. I think it's over there on the west side on Pier 90. But I was just thinking about it. Why would you as a person put yourself in that situation and potentially exacerbate an issue that we're trying to get under control with the spread of this virus? It just makes no sense to me. But that's why we keep talking about people needing to have a level of awareness while we're all dealing with this, because if we all work together, I think that puts us in a position where we can get back to some sense of normalcy sooner rather than later. But when you have these folks that don't pay attention to what they're doing and they don't heed the warning of public health officials, that's just going to continue to make this an issue when it doesn't have to be. And I just don't understand that.
Yeah, it's maddening. And the thing I'll say is that you always think, and everyone has this thought in their heads of, well, this is never going to happen to me. But I'm telling you, if you're dumb enough to go out there and stand elbow to elbow with other people watching the ship come in and walking through Central Park and coming in contact with people constantly, it's going to be you. It's going to be you at some point. So you may think it never will be, but we look, my dad died on Friday, and no fault of his own. He was locked away in assisted living, right? But someone, I'm sure, came into the facility who had been out and about and infected people in that facility. We have someone at our work who's been in the hospital for a week and thank God just got released. But we always think it's never going to be us. It's never going to be our people. At some point, Rick, it's going to be. So just don't be dumb. And I, you know, we have the platform that I feel it's necessary to tell people that if you do things like this, you will be next in line of being in trouble.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we all would like to just kind of, you know, pretend this isn't happening. Like just, you know, bunker down and pretend like, you know, we're in our own little bubble and, you know, it's not going to affect us. But the reality is, especially with how contagious this thing is it does affect you. And it is, I mean, between you and we have had people at the station, I mean, it's at some point, it's an inevitability that it's going to affect you. And it, listen, you may battle through it. You may not have, I mean, you may be asymptomatic. You may, you know, test positive for it. And, you know, you could be like Donovan Mitchell and, you know, really don't have any symptoms and, you know, a couple weeks go by and you're fine. But that's not
everybody.
No, exactly right. Like who? I mean, now all of a sudden you spread it to someone else who spreads it tonight. I mean, it's at a certain point. I mean, you have to listen to the professionals, and the professionals are saying right now that it's in our best interest right now to distance ourselves from people. And I mean, it's a lack of respect is really what it comes down to. I mean, it's stop being selfish is what it comes down to too. It's just, I mean, it's have some respect for the people around you. You may not feel like you're going to be affected by it, but you know, there's people around you that are worried about it.
All right. So let's move on from the real world and spend a couple minutes and a good amount of time at 800-919-3776 on the fantasy land that we live in. And, Jay Glazer. Guys, I'm so confused by this, to be honest with you, because Jay Glazer, and we all know who he is from Fox Sports and The Athletic and all these, you know, excellent entities. He had a tweet yesterday. I guess he spoke with The Athletic and he said that Dave Gettleman really went to bat for his job and he won out with Giants ownership, but he absolutely has to have a big improvement this year. Why? And maybe I just don't see it. I don't get it. Why are you at the point where you're gonna, if you don't have a good season this year, that you're gonna move on from Gettleman? Either you like him or you don't like him. I don't know. I'm so bewildered by the Giants and their thinking and one more year of Gettleman, Chris. And if not, then you move on. But we've gone through the schedule. I don't know how this is gonna be a very good team this coming season.
No, I don't know how it's gonna be a good team either, Dave. I really don't see it. I mean, I'm just struggling to try to figure out how this team can get to 500 to be an 8-8 ball club. And based on what they have on the roster, I don't know that it's possible even when they're armed with the fourth overall pick. It's because that there's a lack of overall talent on this team. They do have some talent at the top, but when you start looking at all the different holes that they have, especially on the defensive side of the ball, I just don't see it. But as far as Dave Gettleman being able to sell ownership on his job, I think the fact that Dave Gettleman is still here confirms what we all speculated a couple of years ago when the Giants had the second overall pick after a 3-13 season and they decided to draft Saquon Barkley. Them deciding to draft Saquon Barkley rather than to go with a quarterback, to me, that was the signal that ownership was responsible in influencing the path that the Giants would go down for the 2018 and 2019 season because they wanted to do everything that they possibly could to try to support Eli Manning. But the reality was that was the wrong decision. And I think John Mara and Steve Tisch allowing Dave Gettleman to come back and be the general manager after they fired Pat Shurmur in 2020, I think that's just them admitting that that wasn't all Dave Gettleman's fault in terms of what's happened the last couple of years.
Yeah, but the more stories you read, the more you hear from, you know, guys like Jay Glazer, who, I mean, when he reports it, I mean, it usually ends up happening, is I think the bigger disconnect going on right now within the New York Giants, and this almost feels like when Tom Coughlin was fired and Jerry Reese was retained, is that there's no consensus between owners. I think that John Mara likes having Dave Gettleman around because he knows how they like to handle their family business and they like to help make these decisions. And I think as far as Steve Tisch is concerned, I think it was just solely up to him after last season. He probably would have cleaned house, which would have been the smart thing to do.
So here's what Glazer said. Here's the quote from his article on Gettleman and The Athletic. He made a case to ownership to come back. He presented a plan on how he'll turn it around in a year. That needs to happen. If it doesn't happen, he'll be gone, and rightfully so. If he doesn't follow through, it's time to go. So I guess my question, Rick, is to you, what does that mean? What does turned around mean? Does that mean that you're very competitive and you win 7 games? Does that mean you win 8 games? Does that mean you're a playoff team? I mean, there's a lot of pressure, and I guess rightfully so in some point, but my point that I do not understand is, if you're that close to moving on from him, why did you not move on to him? Because I find it hard to believe there's going to be a huge jump from last year to this year with this team.
Yeah, it's almost impossible at this point. I mean, you have a rookie head coach, you have a completely new staff, you have a second-year quarterback, and when you look at the Giants' schedule, I mean, I'm having a hard time, especially with, you know, a defense last year that allowed more than 28 points a game. I mean, so that defense hasn't got that much better. I know everyone loves, including you, Dave, loves the franchise tag on Leonard Williams, but
a great move.
No, I mean, seriously, so what is the improvement? And I told you this at the time. I mean, the second you asked Dave Gettleman, who's supposed to be your football guy, you know, what do you think we should do as far as the head coach is concerned? And he goes to bat for Pat Shurmur, and you still fire Pat Shurmur? I mean, that's the perfect opportunity to completely clean house and start over. Because if, God forbid, for you as a Giants fan, this is another bad season, and you have to fire Dave Gettleman, so now what happens to Joe Judge?
Yeah, you know what you're doing, Chris. You are completely following the Jets model that we laugh at all the time. You see what the Jets are doing, and you are lockstep in what they seem to be doing right now.
Yeah, the Giants are putting themselves in a cycle of perpetual mediocrity, and that's exactly where you don't want to be. We all look at the competent organizations around the NFL, and those competent organizations have consistency at the top. They have a general manager that's in place. They have a head coach that's in place. I mean, you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers. They lost Ben Roethlisberger after the first game and somehow, some way, found a way to have that team be 500 and in the playoff hunt in the final weeks of the regular season. The way they were able to do that is because they have Kevin Colbert, their general manager, and Mike Tomlin at the top of that organization, and those two do a great job of working well together. It doesn't feel like you've had that with the New York Giants for some time. I mean, you probably have to go back to 2010, 2011, you know, that time period where you could say that Jerry Reese and Tom Coughlin were on the same page in terms of program building and fielding a consistently competitive team. You don't have that anymore. You're so far away from that. And so I think it's at the time now where the Giants have to get back to that. And unfortunately for Dave Gettleman and Joe Judge, it puts them in a tough spot because Gettleman has an agenda which is trying to win as many games as he possibly can this year, whereas Joe Judge is looking at it and saying he's trying to build a program that leads to sustained winning in the future, and I don't necessarily know if you can marry the two.
Yeah, and the thing I don't understand, Rick, is if you love Gettleman, you love Gettleman. Why would you put an edict that you have to do certain things this year? Right, he's been here 2 years. I think he's done a poor job. He's done a couple things that have worked out. Slayton was good, right? Barkley's obviously a good player, and he should be. Daniel Jones had a good rookie year, and there's certainly promise. But I don't know. From my standpoint, if you like him, you like him. If you think that you're building something that's heading in the right direction, then why would you – now, granted, they didn't make a statement, but why is Jay Glazer, who's as dialed in as anybody there is, know that if things don't turn around drastically this year, then you're going to be looking for a new GM next year? If you love him, you love him. And I would say he's our guy, and we're not moving on from him.
Because I think one owner loves him, and I think one doesn't. I think the same thing could be said about, you know, if it was up to John Mara at the time, he probably would have kept Coughlin and Jerry Reese, but Steve Tisch said one of them has to go. And because he likes to have his hands in making decisions, he kept the GM, and they fired the head coach. I mean, we've been saying this for how many years? There's too many cooks in the kitchen right now for the New York Giants. And we're sitting here laughing, joking about it, but I mean, it's you couldn't have said anything more true than when you look at what the Giants have done over the last couple of years, especially something like this, when you just saw it play out with the New York Jets. I mean, it's almost like they've taken the Jets playbook and they're following it step by step.
Yeah, that's a scary thought, Rick. It really is, because, I mean, I'm looking at the Giants' opponents for 2020, and outside of the division, they're going to play the NFC West and the AFC North. I mean, that's going to be tough sledding. It's hard to get out here and find the Giants getting 8 wins or more. I just don't see it happening. So then you put your general manager in a tough spot. If Dave Gettleman is not going to return, then you're in the process of finding a new GM, and every new general manager is going to want to hire his own head coach. So then after you move on from Gettleman, of course, you're putting Joe Judge in a bind. So to me, just continuing to go back and forth and not having a consensus in the organization about what direction we want to go down moving forward, it's just, it's delaying the Giants getting back to a point when we're seeing them in the postseason and competing for championships.
It's ridiculous is what it is. And it makes
well,
you
already,
feel.
Dave, Dave, you're already starting behind the eight ball, though. Of all the seasons to come out with this kind of edict, with what's going on now, no OTAs, who knows? Uh-huh. I mean, you had Adam Schefter's podcast talking about, the next time you may see these guys together is in actual training camp. So you have a rookie head coach, a new offensive system with Jason Garrett, and a second-year quarterback. You're going to have your hands full. You're behind the eight ball to start the season. And then, like Chris just said, you look at their schedule. You tell me. You're as realistic as a Giants fan as I know. Look at their schedule. You tell me, how's it going to get better?
Yeah, I don't think it can. Can you win six games? Yeah, I guess that's a possibility. Maybe seven if things are absolutely perfect. But, this edict of we expect big changes and to take a leap from last year to this year, I don't see how that's even a possibility, to be honest with you. Unless Daniel Jones is like Dan Marino year two. Because am I missing something? And I know the draft still has to happen and things can change. But the defense at today, if you ranked all the defenses in the NFL, where are they? 29? Lousy.
Dave, you didn't hire, you didn't hire the coach, right? Like, you had a couple options. You had, Mike McCarthy, who, Super Bowl champ. Like, he's you didn't hire, we still don't know who Joe Judge is as a coach. I don't think hired the coach that is going to take you all of a sudden, to this next level. Like, he's still going to have to figure it out. He's going to be more focused on, like Chris said, building the culture. Like, he's part of the rebuild process.
Which is the right thing. Which is such a bizarre thing that they're sitting in now, Chris, because you have the coach who's in a, all right, let's see where we are and let me get my feet wet. And of course I want to win games, but it's not the be all end all. Like, if we see improvement from the beginning of the year to the end and it shows that I can coach, then that's fine for me. And you have a GM who, if you don't go out there and have a massive improvement and win games, he's going to be out. So already you have conflicting, beliefs of what your head coach and your GM need to accomplish this season.
Yeah, and that puts Joe Judge in a tough spot. He's never done the job before in the college ranks or in the pro ranks, so obviously there's going to be a learning curve. Even though he's been around two of the best in Nick Saban and Bill Belichick, it doesn't matter. He's still got to figure out his own coaching style now that he's the guy that's in charge, and I just don't know that this is going to be an ideal situation for him because of the spot that the general manager in, but also to Rick's point, you have little to no offseason. You're probably going to be talking about a condensed training camp. So I think it makes it difficult. You're not going to know what shape your players are going to come in on. So you're going to have to get a feel for that. So I think that there is a lot of moving parts that Joe Judge is going to be responsible for. And quite frankly, he's not in a position where he would have ready answers for the problems that he's going to face. And so when you start talking about the cycle of dysfunction that the Giants have been in at the top, it doesn't lend itself to your head coach getting off to the best of starts. And then you look at the opponents that they're going to face this upcoming season. Guys, I have a hard time finding an opponent that the Giants are more talented than other than the Cincinnati Bengals. If you look at their schedule and the teams that they're going to play, I have a hard time seeing any team that they're more talented in definitively other than the Cincinnati Bengals. That's scary.
Well, I think we all agree that they're not an ultimately very talented team at all.
Well, I think if you look at, Dave, if you look at the Giants right now, and again, we still have to go through the draft, and there are still free agents available, but just on paper today, so you don't have a number one wide receiver. Your offensive line is average at best. You don't have edge pass rush. There's still a ton of work to be done. I just don't understand how you could be in the same building as the New York Jets and watch them do what they did last season. And now, Joe Douglas coming in after all the money is spent and, draft picks are made. You thought it was rebuilt and he actually has to tear it down and rebuild it now. You watch how that played out and how disappointing that was. And now it looks like you're poised to do the exact same thing.
It's incredible. I don't know what there is to say. It's, this was such a functional franchise for such a long time. From the early 80s, for the most part, until Chris, you guys won the Super Bowl. And then they had that one year where, I don't know, it was smoke and mirrors with the free agency. But in the last 10 years, the Giants have been a franchise that has not been well run. And they have not been a good team. And it's uncommon for a lot of people that are my age to see, because we haven't seen a lot of that in our lifetime.
Yeah, Dave, but I mean, you just talked about it. You had to hand off from George Young to Ernie Accorsi to Jerry Reese, and there was that consistency in terms of the overall philosophy and how the organization was going to go about trying to win games, and that hadn't changed for the better part of three decades. And so now you're finally getting to the point where you're having to transition to, you know, a leadership structure where you're bringing in people from outside of the organization and hoping that they're going to be able to get this thing back on track. And Dave, I just don't know that the Giants have entrusted the right people. Clearly, I think Dave Gettleman was a misstep. When you got the owner saying at the beginning of the offseason that the GM has to improve his batting average, that lets you know that Dave Gettleman is on the hot seat. But if you realize that your general manager has to do better, why would you couple him with a newbie head coach? That just doesn't make any sense at all. So I just think that the Giants have to figure out exactly what they're going to do and what's going to be their path. But unfortunately, I think they have to get through the process this offseason, and they're going to come to the reality that Dave Gettleman should no longer be the general manager.
Yeah, I just don't understand. I mean, when you actually hit on the quarterback at six and Daniel Jones does what he does last season and has Giants fans, I mean, if you're a Giants fan, how could you not be excited about, you know, how Daniel Jones looked in his rookie season? I mean, the best thing for a young quarterback is to have some consistency, have some continuity, you know, have the ability to build on what he learned in his first year. So you're already past that because you fired Pat Shurmur. And now on top of it, with no OTAs and everything else, new head coach, new offensive system, but you're going to be behind the eight ball. So there's year two where he's starting from scratch. And now potentially after year two, you're going to fire the GM. So headed into year three, what does that GM decide? Unless you hire somebody that's top priority when he got the GM job was, you know who? I'll tell you what. The second I get the GM job, wherever it is, I'm going to hire Joe Judge as my head coach. Unless that exists, I mean, I don't understand.
It's a snowball. It's just cycling out of control. It feels like
it's perpetuating dysfunction is what it is.
Yep. Yeah, that's exactly what they're doing right now. Their everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you're sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and 98.7 ESPN New York. Let's go to the phones. 800-919-3776. Let's bring in Eli in Newark. Eli, you're first up on 98.7 ESPN.
Okay. Good morning, guys. First of all, Dave, on behalf of myself and my church, all the blessings of the Lord to you and your household. That's first.
Thank you very much, Eli. Very kind of you.
I want to thank Chris for winning that Super Bowl, but I really mean that, too, because I don't know when we ever get another one. Rick, I got to tell you what you said. I've been telling people for a long, long time, right? It starts at the freaking top. These two guys, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes, almost like the Hatfield and McCoys, right? I heard years ago that Steve Tisch will be the money guy, Dave Gettleman the football guy, and they must have made some kind of compromise to get rid of Pat Shurmur. I agree. If it was Steve Tisch, we wouldn't be going through this nonsense, but it is what it is. I'm past being freaking out and going crazy. We'll see what happens. And then on top of all, what you guys were saying, which I agree with, you're still dealing with this pandemic. Everything's upside down. Who the hell knows what happened tomorrow? So I'm just hoping for the best, and I don't know, and prepare for the worst. Thank you, fellas.
Yeah, but just think about this for a quick second, and we're in strange times. I'm going to make a strange analogy. This is very similar to what's going on or what went on with the Tiger King. Just think about this for a quick second, right? Have you seen it yet?
No. Who would have thought that we would compare the Giants situation to what's going on with the Tiger King?
Tiger King. He makes a great point, though, right? So just think about this as just in any business, right? So in any business, when you have dual ownership, I don't care what the business is, the person that has, or I mean, that swings the biggest stick is going to be the guy who has the money, right? So at this point, the Tishes are the money. Now, John Mara, it's his family business. It's him. I mean, the Mara family is, or was, or still is, whatever it is they're the football people, right? But at a certain point, if all of a sudden now you think the right thing to do would be, you know what, we need to fire both, we need to bring someone in here and, you know, kind of take our hands off a little bit. If John Mara ever agreed to that, what use is he to Steve Tisch? Like, if all of a sudden now you hire somebody that's going to actually be your football guy, that's going to be in charge of, by himself, with the coaching staff, making decisions, and the Mara family is not involved, I mean, how does that benefit John Mara?
I don't necessarily know if John Mara is worried about it from that standpoint, though, Rico. I mean, he still has controlling interests of the club. So I see where you're going with that, but I mean, he's the owner of the team. The best thing that any owner can do is sign the checks and empower the right people and then get the hell out of the way, which is clearly what the Giants as an organization have not done. But hopefully with what happened the last couple of years and Dave Gettleman rebuild while he's trying to compete, with that failing miserably, I think they'll realize what they have to do, which is find somebody that's a competent football executive to be the next general manager of this team and then make the decisions that that individual sees fit. Even if they decide to move on from Joe Judge after 1 year, it should be whatever the general manager wants to be, because right now you have too many cooks in the kitchen and you don't have one clear direction. And that's the biggest problem that the Giants have been going through the last 3 years.
Yeah, I just don't know. I mean, and I remember going back to when we had Jordan Renan in studio, and the decision to move away from Pat Shurmur and end up keeping Dave Gettleman. I mean, one of the things he mentioned is that if you brought someone new in, whoever it was, the most qualified candidate, things were going to change. Like there would be people that would lose jobs, and that wasn't necessarily something that John Mara wanted to be a part of, because there's the Giants' way of doing business, which means he is one of the owners, has a lot of say in what happens. And why would you give that up? That's all he has. If you're not the money guy, that's all you have. Yeah, and by well, title, you're one of the owners.
You give it up because you're 12-36 in the last 3 years. And at some point, you have to realize you trying to put your thumbprint on what the team is hasn't been working. It was cool when you had Ernie Accorsi in your front office and he built the foundation for the championship teams in 2007 and 2011. But once you got away from that, you realized that Jerry Reese was out over his skis, and then the Dave Gettleman, the next guy you hired, and keep in mind you hired him because he'd be amenable to going along with your plan, that hasn't worked out. I think you have to realize, if you're John Mara, that even though we have family that's in the front office, it's probably best if we take our hands off of this and turn this over to somebody that knows what the hell they're doing.
Because let's be fair, this is not a good organization right now. I mean, you won the Super Bowl in 2011.
It's a terrible organization,
right?
Dave.
And you've gone to the playoffs one time since then. You haven't won a playoff game since then. You look at the team now after going 3-13, 5-11, and 4-12, and we still shake our heads at the lack of talent here. I mean, we are not close to the Giants going to the postseason. And this is a team that continues to seemingly spiral out of control. So honestly, and I saw this Glazer stuff yesterday, it just made me even more upset. I don't know how things get fixed with the Giants right now.
No, Dave, I'm telling you, man. Wait till you watch Tiger King. This is like when Joe Exotic, he needed money. He needed someone to infuse his business with some money because he was too busy fighting Carol Baskin. He brings in Jeff Lowe. Jeff Lowe's the money guy. Guess who owns the zoo now? Jeff Lowe. Jeff Lowe owns the zoo. He's in charge.
So the Giants are the real life NFL version of the Tiger King.
The zoo, yeah. I mean, they're behaving like a zoo. I mean, listen, terrific. If this thing was functional, let's just pretend for a quick second this thing was functional and everyone was on the same page and it wasn't about CYA and, you know, protecting your own personal interests. If you sat in a room and you really trusted Dave Gettleman to the point where you said, you know what, you chose Daniel Jones, we're going to ride with you, at least for the next couple of years to have some continuity, we're going to ride with you. What should we do with the head coach? And he says, Pat Shurmur, let's find a new D coordinator and let's roll this thing. Let's do it again. If that's what he said and that's what he believed and you trusted him because he still has a job, I mean, wouldn't that be the advice if this was a functional organization that you would take?
Yeah, let's give one more crack at it with these guys.
Because the offense wasn't the problem. The defense was awful. So at least for the sake of Daniel Jones, because he actually had a pretty damn good rookie season, right? Let's go Pat Shurmur one more year. Mm-hmm. We'll give the fans what they want. We'll get rid of the defensive coordinator, hire someone new, and we'll run this back and see how it looks. And then if it's not what we want, everyone's going to get fired.
Right.
Exactly
that,
right.
Then we strip it that, down that, and we start up again. That would make sense. Yes.
That's if it was a competent organization. That's exactly what would happen. But it's not, and we realized even going into last year that the defense wasn't going to be very good. it wasn't because of James Betcher's scheme. It was because they were missing some pieces that you have to have on the defensive side of the ball in order to be competitive in the NFL. They didn't have an edge pass rusher. They didn't have a number one corner. So it got to the point where it was like, okay, what are the Giants going to do? You can't rush the passer, and your secondary was one of the youngest in the league. That, to me, falls at the feet of the general manager. But if the owner doesn't want to fire the general manager and the co-owner, Steve Tisch, didn't think that firing a defensive coordinator would be enough of a pound of flesh in terms of somebody being accountable for the season, I think they landed on Pat Shurmur being the guy that was going to be on the outs. But I don't put last year on Pat Shurmur. I don't even put the defensive performance on James Betcher. I put most of that on the general manager. And the only reason Dave Gettleman still has a job is because John Mara wants him to have a job.
Yep, 100% true. All right, we want to remind you, you can listen to us anywhere. Just click Listen Live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or just simply tell your smart speaker, play ESPN New York. At 98.7 ESPN New York, we go where you go, which is probably from the bedroom to the living room to the den to the basement. So take us around your house or on your long, wonderful walks. I mean, where are you supposed to go?
I had a rough one yesterday, man. I'll tell you about it next segment. I had a rough – yesterday was a rough one.
Yesterday, my big venture was to the mailbox.
Oh, you went to the mailbox. Did you wear gloves?
All the way down the driveway to the mailbox, yeah.
Do you wear gloves?
No. Should I?
Yes.
I don't, but I will tell you this. I walk in and I scrub my hands like I'm going into surgery.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, so the gloves would be probably a nice touch, though.
All right. Well, today, when I make that venture to the mailbox, I'll be wearing gloves.
That's all I ask.
Now, today on ESPN Daily, UFC champion fighter John Jones, one of the best ever, but his recent arrest is a major setback for him and for the sport as well. Hear the story on ESPN Daily. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts. All right, so what did you have happen to you yesterday? Something funny, something upsetting? What happened to you yesterday?
You know, I think a little bit of both. So we're doing a little bit of spring cleaning yesterday, trying to keep ourselves busy. So Cass was going to take the upstairs. I was going to take the downstairs. So she comes, you know, 15, 20 minutes into the spring cleaning. She comes, you know, rolling downstairs, goes, ah, got a bit of a problem. So what kind of problem do we have? She goes, well, do we have any metal hangers? I said, yeah, we have metal hangers. What do you need that for? She goes, well, I was cleaning the toilet with the toilet wand, and the scrub brush of the toilet wand dislodged and fell in the toilet. I said, what would you do? She goes, I flushed it. What do you mean you flushed it? She goes, yeah, I Googled it. It just said to flush it. I said, you didn't want to just reach in and get it? No, it said it's fine. I just flushed it. So now I'm elbows deep in my toilet. With a homemade toilet snake out of a hanger trying to get it, and now it's the toilet is useless. It's been rendered useless.
So that's it. So now it's MIA.
It's done. This is my bathroom. This is my bathroom.
DOA. So I got to be honest. If I were you, I'd be very annoyed at my wife right now.
Dude, I spent 45 minutes last night trying to get I'm whatever it took because I'm like I got to use this toilet and I'm gonna have to get a snake. I can't. She doesn't want, I mean, we don't want anyone really in the house, so it's like, what do you do?
Now, what toilet is this? Is this a primary toilet?
It's my bedroom toilet.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh. Now, exactly, I mean, right. Listen, the thing falling in, okay, mistakes happen, right? But the flushing, Cassie, the flushing.
Thank you.
Is mind-boggling to me.
Yeah. I mean, she doubled down. She just compounded the problem.
Right. Right.
She goes, I think we can get it. I said, what do you mean you think we can get it? With what? I can't get out.
I don't know how
I
gotta
snake it.
Bro.
I don't know how. She's like, well, you can ply. She goes, I Googled it.
No, there's no way you can snake that out.
Yeah, she goes, you can plunge it, and then hopefully the water sucks it back out. I'm sitting there plunging. There's toilet water spraying all over the place. I got a hanger up there. Nothing. There's no the toilet is done. It's
a wrap. What website did she go on that said flush it, by the way?
Thank you. I have no idea. I don't know what she looked up.
Like how to ruin your toilet.com?
So she took something that was a... I just can't believe it. She took something that was a small problem and made it a big problem.
The biggest.
Come on, Cass.
A humongous problem. She panicked.
Come on, Cass.
She panicked.
She really did.
Yeah, I mean, I get you don't want to stick your hand in the toilet, but just I'll do it. I don't care. I mean, I got no problem with that.
It was like a Carlos Beltran at bat against Adam Wainwright in Game 7 of the NLCS. Like she was she was completely overmatched by the toilet yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, she was standing there with the wand on her shoulder, not able to move. She decided, I'll just flush it.
But just call for help. Just, you know,
thank
what?
You.
Use the lifeline. I don't know the answer to this question. I don't know about the amount of people in Armenia. I'm going to use a lifeline. Rick, would you be my lifeline? You would have come up, gotten it out, you know, washed your hands 8 times, and you'd be done.
Been the hero?
Yeah.
Right. Been
yes.
The hero.
That's
and
right.
Now I got nothing. Now I got nothing.
Now there's sheer panic.
The door's closed. Yeah. What am I going to do? Now I got to tiptoe down the hallway, you know, 3 times a night. Cause I mean, I don't know if it's a growing problem or going, whatever it is, but I got to pee at night. So I got to wake up in peace, and I got to tiptoe down the hallway and try not to wake up Milo and Ella and go pee in the other bathroom.
Ugh.
It's brutal.
That is a terrible story.
It's awful. And then
you walking down the hallway halfway asleep trying to get to the bathroom, you know that is a bad thing waiting to happen, right?
No, it's a terrible. And here's the worst part.
You're
going to
hit
better.
Something one day.
Oh, I'll stub my toe, absolutely. Here's how it gets better. So I'm perusing the channels yesterday before we settled in for the Tiger King, and I come across the 2006 Giants Colts game. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, Dave, I mean, did you watch any of that?
The 2006 Giants Colts, is that a Sunday night game?
I don't know what day it was.
That was Eli and Peyton, right?
Eli Peyton.
I know Peyton Manning was rolling that year. They were rolling.
Tiki had a really good game too, and Shockey was good in the second
half.
That
was a Giant Stadium, right?
How much better was the offensive? I mean, you should be disgusted.
We just spent the first 25 minutes of the show how disgusted we are.
That offensive line was so much better than anything
really good.
We've had.
That offensive line was really good.
Really good. With not a ton of, you know, big time draft picks either. They just got guys,
up. I think the highest guy they had on that line was what? It was Chris Snead, was a second round pick.
You had
David Deal.
Pettigrew. Yep.
Pettigrew was a first round pick.
Yeah. Luke Pettigrew. Yeah, but Pettigrew, was he on that 07 team?
I don't know if he was on the
07 team. I don't think he was on the 07 team. I don't think he was on that team.
He was not on the 07. He was not on the Super Bowl team,
no. It was Kareem McKenzie. Yeah, it was Kareem McKenzie and David Deal. Oh, yeah. They had a lot of talent. 2006-07 through 2011, that was a really good offensive line. One of the best in the league with, like you said, Dave, not a whole lot of stars.
No, and not a whole lot of draft capital invested into the offensive line, and they just found a way. But yeah, now it's just not good. And you know what's so frustrating, guys? We'll get back to the calls at 800-919-3776 in a second. The one thing, Rick, that Gettleman said upon getting the job with his dumb phraseology is hog mollies. I'm going to fix this offensive line. And he's tried all these different things, and the offensive line is still not very good.
No, it hasn't worked. And I mean, between the Nate Solder signing, which has been a brutal signing, and then Omame, I mean, it's been bad. But I mean, when you look at how much draft capital that they've spent on the offensive side of the ball with the skill positions, I mean, to look at Todd McShay's mock draft and have him taking a defensive player at 4, I'm like, Isaiah Simmons is great. But I mean, clearly, the need for you right now to get the best out of what you drafted that high is you got to fix that offensive line. You have to.
And that, to me, is why you have to take the left tackle top overall. Because if you take the left tackle, then you have the guy you brought in from the Cowboys, right, Fleming. You still have Solder. They can battle out for the right tackle. You like Hernandez. I'm not even opposed to taking a center in this draft who you can put in there and play for a long time. And then you got Zeitler. So then you'd have to figure that the offensive line does take that next jump, right?
I
think the offensive line does take a next jump. I look at the Solder signing, and although you're not getting the production that the pay scale would suggest, I think it was a necessary move. He was a piece that you needed, a guy that you can plug in and be your starter at one of the tackle spots, and you don't have to worry about it. I like Will Hernandez. I think he's a young, developing interior offensive lineman, and then you made the trade last year bringing over Kevin Zeitler from the Cleveland Browns, and all it cost you was Olivier Vernon. So, yeah, Dave, to me, I think you're a left tackle and probably an interior offensive lineman away from this really being a solid unit up front. And where the Giants are positioned in terms of draft capital, they have the opportunity to do that. So, to me, in year two of Daniel Jones's tenure, the priority should be solidifying the offensive line and making that something that your young quarterback doesn't have to worry about, because the biggest criticism that you would have to put on Daniel Jones after his rookie campaign is that he doesn't hold on to the football when he gets hit in the pocket. You can alleviate that to some degree by fortifying the protection in front of him.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Pete in New Hampshire. Pete, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, guys, how's it going? Dave, my condolences.
Thank you, Pete.
Actually, I blame most of this. I'm going to go back to the Jerry Reese regime. He didn't leave Gettleman or the rest of the guys with anything to work with. I mean, you guys have gone over it in time about how many draft picks he wasted.
He messed up, guys. Yes.
So that's where I think a lot of this has to go back to them. And how long he kept that job, I have no idea.
Well, because he won Super Bowls, right? That's why.
Yeah, but that stuff. Those guys were Accordi guys, most of them.
Okay, but still, I mean, if you're winning two Super Bowls, even if a lot of it, and I think that's fair to say, a lot of it was because of the GM before. It's hard to fire a guy who's won multiple Super Bowls. No.
Yeah, but you guys have done it. I remember listening to it. I was going to call in those days about all those how many draft picks. Flowers and all those other guys.
Not just draft picks. You're talking about full drafts. No, I mean, you're talking about full drafts.
Right. That's right, Rick. You're right. Absolutely right.
Well, no, here's the thing, though. Listen, I partly agree with Dave to a certain degree. I mean, the guy did win Super Bowls. I think the reason why they kept Jerry Reese around as long as he was around was because he was amenable to letting ownership have a say.
Yeah, I agree with that, too. But, I mean, come on. They had to notice after a while that the guys he was drafting weren't sticking around. So
you're 100% right. You're 100% right. But, I mean, we're sitting here in the last segment talking about, you know, the problem with the Giants. And I think it's safe to assume that John Mara is a smart guy. Yeah, I mean, I'm just going to assume that for the sake of my next comment. You've been the worst team in football over the last 3 years. I mean, you would imagine that when rubber meets the road and you're sitting here in an office trying to figure out where you should head next, that I don't care what Dave Gettleman says or how hard he argues to keep his job. I mean, just common sense would tell me that it would make no sense to put him on the hot seat, keep him around for a year when, I mean, the lack of talent mixed with your schedule is showing me that there's no real, like, there is, I mean, maybe, I mean, a glimmer of hope that you can have a decent season, but to say you can have a good season is probably, I mean, pie in the sky. And then on top of it, you hire a rookie head coach. That does not seem like a smart decision coming from a smart man.
No, it doesn't. And I can't understand the logic behind it to try to couple, you know, Joe Judge with, you know, the GM that's on the hot seat. I think it's unfair to him because you're looking at it and you're saying if they don't have success in year one, then your general manager's out, and then all of a sudden you've got a GM that has no ties to you and is going to be looking for any opportunity to get rid of your head coach in order to hire his guy. So it just, you know, from a logic standpoint, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense what the Giants have done and how they've tried to go about structuring the organization after firing Pat Shurmur. It felt like it was a natural opportunity to move away from both, and they didn't take advantage of it. And to me, the only thing that really shows is that John Mara wants to give Dave Gettleman the benefit of the doubt, because the plan that he asked Dave Gettleman to execute wasn't on the GM entirely. Ownership had something to do with it.
All right. In these very trying times, important to remember we pulled together as a community. Small businesses all over are going to be feeling the lasting effects of this pandemic. If you are a small business trying to get the word out that you're still serving the community, let us know. Send us an email to 987ESPN@gmail.com and let us know your story so we can pass the word along to our community. All right. I don't want to just read them off. Why don't you tell me? Are you in the mood for a coffee shop? Or are you in the mood for a little pizza? What are you in the mood for right now?
10:45-ish. Let's go with coffee shop.
Okay. How about a bite food and coffee, a cafe restaurant in Hackensack, New Jersey? They're open from 7 a.m. till 10 p.m. with a menu that consists of all day breakfast, sandwiches, burgers, salads, coffee, juice, smoothies, and more. They're open for carryout, pickup, and free delivery to a lot of North Jersey. Orders can be placed directly on their website, bitefoodcoffee.com. Again, it's Bite Food and Coffee in Hackensack. I'll give you pizza when we get a little closer to lunchtime. Schools will survive and communities will thrive, but for student athletes who have lost their senior seasons due to this pandemic, 98.7 ESPN would like to salute you for accomplishing great achievements in scholastics and athletics. Please email us at 987ESPN@gmail.com to tell your athlete's story, and we'll do our best to share those stories. Like Army hockey. The seniors of the Army hockey team, like many athletes around the country, had their final season cut short this month where many athletes have the opportunity to continue their athletic careers in some capacity. They will move on to their next journey at various military bases around the country as second lieutenants in the Army. 98.7 ESPN salutes our local hometown heroes for accomplishing great achievements in scholastics and athletics. And my understanding, Rick, is that Army hockey had one of their best seasons they've ever had this year, which was cut short just as the conference tournament was about to start out.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, too. And you know, the one thing, and hopefully at some point we can speak to their coach, but I mean, the one thing when you look at their season, and the coach, you know, kind of talks about this a little bit, is that, you know, those are certain seasons, and Chris, you know, Chris always brings this up when they won the Super Bowl, where it just seems like everything kind of has fallen in place. Like, you're starting to get healthy at the right time. It feels like, you know, you're hitting your stride just as you're going into the most important part of the season. And then all of a sudden to have that ripped away, I couldn't even imagine.
Yeah. No, it's very, very tough.
I couldn't imagine it either. I really couldn't. I can't wait to talk to Coach Riley this week and just ask him what he thinks about the NCAA coming out with their ruling yesterday that they're going to allow spring sport athletes to have an extra year of eligibility because they haven't been able to play their season. I would wonder what his take on it would be and how he thinks that should affect the winter sports as well.
Rick, we have people that are on the line ready to give you advice for the toilet issues that your wife has put your family into.
Yeah, on top of that, too, I didn't finish the rest of the story. So I'm watching that 2006 Giants game, and I'm like, you know what? So Cass comes down, kids are in bed, sleeping, sound asleep, and she wants to get a little bit frisky. And I'm like, 2006, I'm kind of inspired. Maybe I'll turn back the clock a little bit. And I try to, get back the younger Rick days. Tried one of my world famous moves, and clearly at my age, not a wise decision. I think I pulled an oblique, dude. I was in agony. Oh, I thought it was a cramp initially, but it's killing me.
Oh, that's terrible. But, now, you know, I awful. Imagine that you took one for the team and you were able to push your way through.
Yeah, I finished. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm going to finish that thing up. But yeah. I was like, oh my God, is that a cramp? And then this morning I woke up and like, no, I definitely did something.
Well, 15-day IL for you. All right. Let's go to Calvin in the car. Calvin has some good, solid advice for you. Welcome aboard, Calvin.
Hey, how you doing?
All right. Go ahead, buddy.
Hello? Hey, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
Hey, yeah. I work for Sewer King, and it's like Roto-Rooter. And how you can save your toilet is if you can go get an auger from, like, Home Depot, you can use the auger to push it down, remove the toilet, and you can pull it out.
You really think I'm capable of removing the toilet?
Yeah, I mean, it's simple.
No. What do you mean it's simple? Taking the whole toilet out?
Well, you work for Sewer King. It's simple for you.
Now, you can just loosen a little nuts, turn the water off, loosen a valve, and just lift up the toilet.
I tried loosening the nuts last night, and I pulled an oblique. What am I going to do trying to pick up a toilet?
All right, so not the advice that we're looking for. Calvin, thanks for trying. Let's see if we have anybody else that can give you. Sean, a plumber. Sean, you're on 98.7.
Hey, guys. Big fan of the show. How you guys doing?
We're doing all right. Sean, can you help Rick out here in his time of need?
Yeah, listen, your wife is right. You got to use the plunger. I mean, you can pull the toilet, but you don't want to do that. So
no.
Grab the plunger, and when you push down, the key is pulling back up really fast because you want to pop that back up the bowl.
Yeah, but what about
you're pushing?
No, here's my issue, though. I'm having a water issue. I don't have enough water. I don't feel like there's enough water in the bowl to do the appropriate plunging.
Yeah, so just fill up a spackle bucket, fill the bowl back up.
Oh, smart. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not really the downforce. You want to push down softly and then pull back aggressively because you'll pop that back up.
I'm going to try that.
That's the only way you're going to do it, but if that doesn't work, you have no other choice but to pull the bowl.
Oh, no.
I'm thinking about just closing down the bathroom.
just putting tape across the front, the yellow tape. Thanks for the call, Sean.
I'm just going to shut it down.
Yeah, like there was a crime scene here. No one's allowed in the bathroom.
I mean, at some point, I mean, if you guys are willing, I mean, to take the show, just the two-man show, I mean, I can go attempt to plunge this thing out and see if I can do it and give you updates.
Can you bring the phone into the bathroom and give us a live play-by-play of how it's breaking down?
Yeah, I mean, I could do that. Yeah,
I think that'd be very entertaining radio. Chris, is there any kind of household issues you're having you need help with?
No, I think I'm all set, boys. I'm all good.
Okay.
If it's something that I can't figure out, I know who to call.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.